Our original volunteer-made programming drives the fresh and passionate sound you tune in for. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we learn all about presidential elections with New Mexico's Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse Oliver. From how ballot order is determined to ensuring election security, the Secretary explains each detail to us. Then we learn why our country sends all our votes to college, the Electoral College, where the actual decision is made as to who becomes our next president and vice president. New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon was once an elector herself, and she explains how the system works. This episode is mixed with great music. Stick with us for the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American radio network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Why couldn't the spaghetti vote in this district?
I don't know. Why?
Because he was an imposter.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Democracy calling, rock the vote. Democracy calling, rock the vote. Liberty calling, vote, vote, vote. Lady Liberty calling, vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my sisters, vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my brothers, vote, vote, vote. Democracy calling, rock the vote. Democracy calling, rock the vote. Liberty calling, vote, vote, vote. Lady Liberty calling, vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my sisters. Vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my brothers. Vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my sisters. Vote, vote, vote. Rock the vote, my brothers. Vote, vote, vote. Vote, vote, vote. Vote, vote, vote.
That's Raffi with Vote, Vote, Vote. This is the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone, and I'm so happy to be here with everyone on our crew. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
What's up?
Who's with us today?
Hi, it's Lucy.
Hi, it's Corbett.
Hi, it's Camila.
Hi, it's Melissa.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's Maya Lou.
Happy day, it's Maya.
Hello, it's Isaac.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hi, it's Octavia.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Well, I am so glad you're all here. And you too, listeners. Today, we're going to be learning about presidential elections. You all know there's a presidential election coming up here in the United States.
Yep.
I watched the debate.
Really?
The place where they argued.
What'd you think of the debate, Camilla?
They both made fair points.
Well, that is a very diplomatic response. Election Day in the United States is always the first Tuesday of November. And this year being a presidential election, the American people will be electing our president and our vice president, as well as many other positions in our government, like Congress and state government leaders and local county and city leaders, judges, and many elections even include things like bond issues. That's like a way for governments to raise money, or even voting on other issues that have been petitioned to be included in the ballot. So we wanted to know more about how presidential elections and elections in general work. So we invited New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver to join us on the program today. And there's this other thing the United States has when it comes to presidential elections called the Electoral College. And it's very confusing, even for grown-ups. So we've asked New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon, who used to be an elector herself, to explain the Electoral College for us. So there's a lot to learn on the Children's Hour today. Stick with us. This is Red Yarn from Backyard Bop.
There's something going down at the town hall. Crowd gathering round at the town hall. They're making quite a rowdy kind of sound, y'all. Lots of talking and a shouting going round, y'all. I think I'll go and see what's going down, y'all, and see why everybody's meeting at the town hall. At the town hall meeting.
At the town hall meeting.
All the neighbors are speaking.
All the neighbors are speaking.
Got leading,
folks, we got leading.
Hearing what we're feeling,
hearing what we're feeling.
Maybe disagreeing,
maybe disagreeing.
But our hearts are beating,
our hearts are beating.
At the town hall meeting,
at the town hall meeting.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lady trying to get a new
stop sign.
Should
all sign.
Some citizens are wondering if the mayor was lying about the rumor that we all heard through the grapevine. If you feel compelled, then go get in the waiting line, and you'll get a turn to stand up and
speak your mind.
At the town hall meeting,
at the town hall meeting,
all the neighbors are speaking,
all the neighbors are speaking.
To the folks we got leading.
Delighted to welcome to the Children's Hour New Mexico's Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. Maggie Toulouse Oliver was elected to the New Mexico Secretary of State position in 2016. And before that, she was the Bernalillo County Clerk. That's the most populous county in the state of New Mexico, where Albuquerque is and where the Children's Hour lives. Secretary Toulouse Oliver is an advocate for election security. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver.
Hi, Katie. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you tell us what a Secretary of State does?
You know, it really depends on the state. It has different responsibilities no matter where you go. But in most states, a Secretary of State is an elected official, so somebody that the voters choose. And it's an office that is actually created in that state's constitution. So way back in the old days, like New Mexico in 1912, they created this position. And this position, it sort of grown and changed over the years. But the three main jobs are, number one, the Secretary of State is in charge of making sure that the state conducts its elections so all the voters can come together and make their choices about who their leaders are going to be. It's also responsible for any businesses in the state. So, you know, any place you guys go to shop with your parents, any grocery store, the barber shop where you get your hair done, any place like that that's a business, they have to file papers in our office to become a business, to be official. So we're in charge of all of that. And then lastly, we're in charge of something called ethics. And it's kind of a complicated idea, but basically it's about doing the right thing. And so there are a lot of laws in place in our state that make sure that the people who are in government are not using their government role for their own personal benefit. So they can't get rich, let's say, off of being in charge of making laws. And so I'm in charge of enforcing those laws as well.
We're going to focus on the part of your job that is about elections. And the kids have a lot of questions for you.
What exactly is your job in voting?
So basically what my job is I have to oversee all the elections at the statewide level. So, you know, we have 33 different counties in New Mexico. So 33 different counties, and they each have their own county clerk. They are the ones that actually run the elections. So they will hire all the poll workers and they'll get all the ballots ready for the voters. They'll make sure that they have their list ready of all of the voters who are going to show up to come up and vote so they can get a ballot and make their choices. And I'm the one who makes sure they all have everything they need to be able to do that and to make sure that they understand the state laws so that they can do their job correctly and accurately. There's 50 states, of course. 40 of us secretaries of state are in charge of that job of overseeing those local officials, and the other 10 states have somebody else in charge.
A word that's used a lot when we talk about voting is ballot. What is a ballot?
I'm so glad you asked that question. When you're casting your vote for somebody, you're actually using an instrument. You're using a mechanism to cast that vote. And because usually when folks are going to vote, you're not just going to vote for like one person, right, at a time. You're going to vote for like a bunch of different people, a bunch of different offices. So we have president and senator and Congress, and we have governor and lieutenant governor and secretary of state, right, all of these offices. And so a ballot is actually, in this case in New Mexico, it is a piece of paper that has a list of all of the offices that are eligible for election and all of the people who are running for that election. And so as the voter, you get your ballot and it has all of these races and all of these names, and then you make your selections about who you want to pick in each race. But that's what a ballot is. It's that list, basically. It's a list of all of the offices and all of the people that are running for that office.
Will people's votes always be counted?
Yes, people's votes will always be counted. Anybody who gets registered to vote, and that's really important, you have to actually sign up in most places to be able to vote. And then when you go in to vote, that ballot where that has all of the different, you know, candidates on it, you know, from president on down, when you mark your ballot, it's going to get fed through a machine like a scanner that counts it. And so even if the machine has a problem and maybe it messes up and it can't count that ballot, a human being is going to actually go and hand count that ballot to make sure that that vote gets added in.
So you said that different secretary of states and different states do different things. Mm-hmm. Is it like a law that it has to be the same with voting about the election, or can states do it differently?
I am so glad you asked that question, Isaac, because it's one of the really interesting things about America is that the voting process actually does look a little bit different in every state. There are some things that are always the same, right? The date of the election is always going to be the same in every state. The ability to vote for your president or your United States senator or your congressperson, that's always going to be the same. There are protections in place for people. You know, We had a long history in this country of people of color, you know, African Americans and Hispanics and Native people being denied the right to vote because of who they were. And there are federal laws that protect those people to be able to vote. But aside from that, depending on which state you're in, the process is going to look a little bit different.
How many ways are there to vote, and how many different places can you go to vote?
So really, there's three different ways to vote in New Mexico. There's voting absentee, which is you get a ballot in the mail, and then you can send it back or drop it back off. There is voting early, which is before Election Day, but in person. So there are a lot of options to vote early before Election Day. And then the third option is to vote on Election Day, and you have to do that in person at a polling place.
Are absentee ballots safe?
You know, absentee ballots are super safe. And in fact, people have been voting by absentee ballot for decades. And especially, you know, we have a lot of people serving in the military or overseas in other countries. They've only been able to vote by absentee ballot for decades and decades because they were here in the country to be able to vote. It's absolutely safe. It's absolutely secure. We have so many steps in the process to make sure that people get their ballot and that the ballot gets back and that also that vote gets counted and that nobody can vote that isn't supposed to vote or that they can't pretend to be somebody else, right, and cast their ballot. So it's a very safe and secure process that's been going on, you know, since even before I was born, which is a long time ago at this point.
As New Mexico's Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver has pointed out, every state handles their own election slightly differently. But no worries, there is one place you can go to find out all you need to know about the election and voting wherever you are. Go to vote.org. That's VOTE.org. And you can get a lot of information, including where polling places are near you. We're going to keep talking with New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver right after this. This is not me, but another Katie. This is Miss Katie Sings right here on the Children's Hour.
If we like something, if we don't, we can try to take a vote. Raise your hand or speak your mind. What is right? What is kind? Let's vote. We can choose. Let's vote for me and you. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Let's vote. Come with me. Let's vote officially. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Vote on what to play, where to go, what to do today. When we're older, we'll vote some more on leaders and what we stand for. Let's vote, we can choose. Let's vote for me and you. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Let's vote, come with me. Let's vote officially. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Let's make this a world that's fair for our neighbors and for our air. A place of love and equality, justice, hope, and possibility. Let's vote, we can choose. Let's vote for me and you. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Let's vote, come with me. Let's vote officially. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. Stand up for what's right. Speak up in the night. Show up at the site. Vote. Stand up for what's right. Speak up in the night. Let's vote officially. Let's vote to make the world a lot better. To make the world a lot better.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, an educational nonprofit based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're listener-supported at childrenshour.org. The New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Experience the magic of New Mexico's many cultural traditions at museums and historic sites statewide. More at nmculture.org/traditions. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.
Took me every time we'd stand there in the voting line. People from church would all say hi. She smiled at everyone. There were lots of boots and veteran hats, women in polyester pants, fluorescent lights and the real romance of imagining myself one day in a suit, shaking hands. Nice to meet you. Oh, I read those names on front yard signs. Went home to make my designs. Instead of their names, I put mine. Cause I knew I would run. But first I'd win the World Series in the Super Bowl. Then help Magic Johnson beat Larry Bird. Pilot a jet, save the world. Come home as everyone's favorite son. Have a dream that you dream alone. Maybe that's why I love to vote. My mom would let me poke the holes in that little paper card. We'd talk at home with my grandma about who was on the ballot and what they thought. By about fourth grade, I knew them all. I could argue with anyone. I thought I was just a guy who could sort out. Over Edmund Pettus Bridge with John Lewis on that Sunday. I wish I would have known when I was a kid just how hard it was for so many people to do the simple thing that for me was a childhood game. The polling place was a place to dream. Should be the same for everyone. We are free. We believe in love. But if we don't fight for each other, are just words. I thought about Susan B. Anthony and Lucy Stone, who fought for women when they couldn't vote. I heard Fannie Lou Hamer singing her songs when I went out that day with my kid and a baby Bjorn to the school near my house in the pre-dawn. There was a line of people in my big city home, and I knew everyone was there. I was happy to wait. I was cold but warm, and the sun came up.
That was the Deedle Deedle Dees with Vote With My Mom, released in 2018. You are tuned to the Children's Hour, and I'm Katie Stone, here with the kids on Zoom and with New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. We have a lot more questions about the election and voting.
What is the youngest age you can be able to vote?
The federal law says you have to be 18 years old to vote. However, there have been some movements around the country to allow folks as young as 16 to be able to vote in, let's say, school board elections, because students are being impacted directly on a daily basis by the decisions of the school board, who makes all the decisions about how your schools are going to run. So it's entirely possible that in the future, we could see that voting age lowered down to 16, or who knows, maybe even lower.
Can you choose not to vote?
You know, in the United States, you can make that choice. That is your right as a citizen as to whether you want to vote or not. And did you know, Octavia, there are some countries where you actually have to, you're required by law to vote. And if you don't, you actually have to pay money to the government for not voting. And some people think we should do that here because some people don't think there are enough people that actually come out and vote, even though we have this really amazing right to have our voices heard. But here in the United States, it is our choice not to vote if we choose not to.
In the state of New Mexico, we vote on paper ballots. We use a pen and actually fill in a piece of paper, little circles like kids will do at school when you have standardized tests.
Right.
But in a lot of places in the country, they use electronic voting machines, which kind of look like a screen, like an iPad, and you touch them and vote that way. I feel like our paper ballots are really safe and secure and a great way to vote. But I also have a couple questions for you, like how do you count so many paper ballots so quickly? And are they all the same, voting paper ballots or voting with electronic voting machines?
So it's a combination, right? We do, of course, use the paper ballot. And to your point, Katie, we use that so that if there is ever, I mean, how many times have you guys tried to start your iPad or start your computer and it doesn't start up?
Yeah.
Right. Something went wrong. How many times have you had to turn it off and turn it back on again? And then sometimes have you guys ever like worked hard on something on your computer, like maybe tried to write a book report or something and something happened with the computer and the document didn't save and you had to do your work all over again? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, a lot.
Okay. So many times.
So that's the thing with computers. That's why we have the paper ballot. If anything ever happened to that machine that's counting your ballot, we still want to be able to know how you voted at the end of the day, right? We want to be able to go back and say, this is how Melissa or Maya or Isaac voted. So we're able to do that with a paper ballot, but we use the machines to count those votes a lot faster than a human can. And they can count sometimes up to 1,000 ballots a minute as we're feeding them through the machine to be counted. That's how we can count them so fast. But if it ever got messed up, we have that paper ballot that we can go back to and make sure that we count your vote correctly.
Secretary Toulouse Oliver, how do you decide who goes first on the ballot and the order of the candidates?
First of all, depending on the office, so the federal or the national government offices are gonna go first. So like president is gonna always be at the top of the list. Then United States Senator, then U.S. Congress, then any state level offices, then any county level or local level offices. But here's how we decide the order. We take the alphabet and we put all of the letters of the alphabet into a random hopper, kind of like if you guys were doing bingo, right? And you saw maybe, have you guys ever seen those bingo machines where the pieces bounce around? I'm describing this in like a story-like kind of way because we actually do it by computer and it's really boring. But imagine, if you will, that someone were to reach out and pick out a letter. The first letter of the alphabet we picked out was the letter C. So everybody with a letter C starting last name got to go first on the ballot. Then we picked out a second letter. Let's say for the sake of argument that it was a P. Then everybody with the letter P got to go second until we went all the way through the alphabet. So we picked it totally random so that everybody had an equal chance of going first or last or what have you. That's how we picked that.
Secretary, we're hearing in the news that we should all expect that the results of the election will not be available the night of the election. But do you think we're going to have the results by, say, Thanksgiving?
Of course, we're going to know by Thanksgiving the outcome of the election. You know, people like me all over the country that are in charge of elections are working so hard already, and we're going to keep working so hard to make sure that every single vote gets counted and gets counted accurately so that we know the outcome. We know how important it is for the public, for all of your parents and all of you guys to know who's coming next, who's going to be our next series of leaders in this country. And we want to know that too. So we are going to make sure that that happens.
Is there a way where teens like me can go out and work at the polls?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked, Melissa. And I don't know exactly how old you are, but if you're 16 or 17 years old, you can work at the polls in New Mexico. And in fact, our county clerks love having younger people work the polls along with the other poll workers, because a lot of times there's like heavy equipment to set up, or like, you know, they don't really feel comfortable with computers, right? And of course, our younger people are so good at that sort of thing. And so if you're interested, you can call your county clerk or go online to your county clerk's office and sign up to be a poll worker. They would love to have more 16 and 17 year olds working at the polls.
We have posted a link that has all the data state by state for poll worker rules, including the minimum age. And there are many states where teenagers can jump on in and become poll workers, even if you're not old enough yet to vote. We've been with New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's so nice seeing all of you guys. Thank you for your wonderful questions.
We're going to learn about the Electoral College next with a real elector. But first, this is Annie Lynn. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we're learning about presidential elections on the show today. And that's because in the United States, we have an election coming up on the first Tuesday of November to elect our next president and vice president of the United States. But there's a funny little thing about electing a president and a vice president in our country. The overall popular vote in our nation does not determine the winner of the election. And that's because of our Constitution, which created the Electoral College. Kids and adults struggle to understand the purpose of the Electoral College. So we asked New Mexico Representative Pamela Herndon, herself once an elector in the Electoral College, to explain the Electoral College to us.
The Electoral College is actually described as a place where a group of people with a similar viewpoint come together to elect the president and the vice president of their party, particularly in states where the popular vote will determine who will get electoral votes. So it's a method for which a state will actually cast votes to make that determination, and that determination being the president and vice president of our country. And so some of you might be asking, well, oh my gosh, why do we have to have an electoral college? Why can't we just all go out and vote and whoever wins, wins? Well, when our forefathers put together the Constitution, they were concerned that there were a lot more people in other parts of the country than in others. And what they wanted to do was to make sure that every state would have an equal opportunity to determine who would be a president and the vice president of our state. So they thought that this electoral college concept would really work. But now, as we continue to have our conversation, I'll be interested to hear your conversation with me about whether or not you think it really does bring about an equal process for determining the president and the vice president.
Why is it called the Electoral College?
So it's called an Electoral College simply because they use the word college. And as we look at the word college itself, it simply refers to a group of people who have a shared task. And their task is to carry out the job of choosing the president and the vice president. So that's how the term college got put into it. And electoral, meaning that they are casting a vote to make a determination of who will hold an office. So it's a group of people with a shared task of determining who will hold an office. And so that's kind of how it got its name.
How did you become an elector?
I became an elector when I became a member of the State Central Committee for the state of New Mexico. And so that's where the determination of electors generally occur. So what happens the way our state is run and many other states run is that people will determine that they're going to run for a position to determine the policies of a particular political party. So in my case, I ran to help determine the policies of the Democratic Party in the state of New Mexico. And the year that I was in what's called the State Central Committee, and I ran for and sought the position as an elector and was elected by the other members of the State Central Committee to carry out that task, then that gave me the opportunity to make sure that I'm the one who's actually casting the vote for our state once the popular vote in our state was determined.
Is there just one elector for a state, or how many does a state have?
No, in the state of New Mexico, we have electors in our state, as in every other state, based upon the number of people in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. So in our state, we have 2 members of the Senate and we have 3 members of the House of Representatives. So therefore, we have 5 electors. So across the country, there are 538 electors, and those are based upon 2 senators for every state, which would make 100 senators. And then though there are 435 representatives as determined by the Constitution, where those representatives are depends upon the census. So the more people you have, the more representatives you will have in the House of Representatives in Congress. And then it also includes 3 electors or 3 representatives from the District of Columbia. So that's how we get to the number of 538.
New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon is one of our guests. She is serving in the State House of Representatives for the state of New Mexico currently, and she once was an elector. Dr. Herndon is also an attorney, and as we're approaching the presidential election in the United States, it's often surprising to people from other countries, or really just people in general, how the popular vote, meaning whoever has the most number of votes in a presidential and vice presidential race, is not necessarily the winner. There's a lot to learn, and you can find links and more information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Presidential Elections.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. Learn more at tokenibis.org. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
So listen up. The political parties in each and every state appoint a slate of delegates who wait to be told what to do.
By you and your vote.
And your vote, see? So when you go into that booth at your polling place on election day to choose a president,
what you're really voting for is that group of electors.
Got it? Uh-huh. And the candidate who gets the most votes wins every elector in that state.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none. And the winners go to Washington to cast their ballots. The electoral ballots for the candidate they represent.
Now the number of electors that each state gets corresponds to its members in the House and the Senate.
Big states get more, little states get less. And the total number of electors in the country that a candidate has got to get to be elected president is 270.
That's at least 270 electoral votes.
And each and every state is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
It's the will of the people that the college seems to amplify, to put a brave face on a close race and try to make the difference between the winner and the loser seem larger. That's the intent of our founding fathers. So if the vote is tight and there's not a clear choice, still all the people of the state will seem to speak with one voice.
The majority rule,
there's no second place.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none.
So even if A gets 49% and B gets 51, then B gets all the electoral votes and A gets none.
And each and every state
is winner take,
is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge. Get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
Now to win those elections, you gotta make selections on where to spend your time and your money. So check across the nation for voter registration and step to the states with the big population.
Cause that's where the votes are. Electors the most are. The whole thing works like a video game where you take aim to claim a whole state as your own. And each and every state is winner take all.
Got to expand your political knowledge.
Got it.
So get to know your electoral college. The people who get sent to represent your vote for president. The electors.
Get to Know Your Electoral College is Spicy Tea and Sheehan from Schoolhouse Rock's The Vote. Right here on the Children's Hour, we're talking with an elector. Dr. Pamela Herndon was an elector for the state of New Mexico in a previous presidential election. And one question we have is, can anyone be an elector, Dr. Herndon?
So generally, the electors come from the state central committee. It could also be a member, a high-ranking political officer, could like the governor, for example, or the lieutenant governor, if they chose to be an elector. But generally, they leave it to the policymakers who set out the rules and the policies that will be governing a particular political party. So the state central committee is elected in the state of New Mexico, and they are elected by precincts and by wards to represent a particular area where they live. And it's just like the United States, where we have House of Representative members representing each and every person in a state. Well, in the state of New Mexico, we have state central committee members representing the entire state, coming together to determine the procedures and policies that a particular political party will use.
Can an elector go rogue? Can it like just discard the popular vote and just do whatever it wants to do?
Well, I want you to know, Lucas, that there have been some electors who have tried to go rogue and have tried to cast their ballots for somebody different than what the people in the state that where they live have cast their ballots. So that matter has also been taken to the Supreme Court, and they cannot do that. And in most states, and in some states, for example, if an elector tries to cast the ballot different than what the people of the state have directed them to cast, then they could be actually put in jail for purposes of not following the rules as they should have been.
What does rogue mean?
Rogue means they're not following the process or that they should be following. They're not going down the path that they're supposed to follow. Like say, for example, if we took boys and girls in the state of New Mexico and girls were one party and boys were one party and the girls won the race, but the boys were the electors and they said, well, we're going to vote for boys. We're not going to vote for the girls. Well, that would not work because the girls had the majority of the votes. So the boys have to vote for the girls. So going rogue would mean that you would vote in a different way than what the majority had voted. And that's not what electors are supposed to do. They're supposed to cast their ballots the same way that the majority of the people in the state have cast their ballots.
I've been studying the Electoral College, and so far it's all seemed pretty simple. But everyone's saying it's really confusing. So what's the confusing part?
So the confusing part is that when you look at the number of votes that are cast across the United States, sometimes they don't necessarily coincide with the way the Electoral College ends up selecting the president and vice president. And there have been two examples to occur during the past, than two of the past presidential elections. One involved George Bush Jr. And so when he ran for office, he did not win the popular vote. And when Donald Trump ran for office, he did not win the popular vote. When George Bush ran, there was a 500,000 difference in the votes. When Donald Trump won, there was over 3 million differences in the vote that he received and looking at what people had cast. So the people were saying, then why are we utilizing this Electoral College? Because the people really haven't spoken when the majority of the people had voted for somebody else. But the Electoral College had determined that a different person other than the majority had voted. So there seems to be a very, very different process that really is confusing because in the various states, you must vote for the person with the popular vote. But then if you look at it on a bigger scale, the country is not voting for the person that the country wanted. So that is what is very, very confusing about the Electoral College today.
I'm just going to ask my crew, what do you think about that? Does that seem fair?
I feel like that's unfair.
The only way we can change this, Corbett, is through changing our constitution. Because right now, the Electoral College is constitutionally mandated, and it would require 2/3 of the vote of the House and the Senate to change that rule to make it go out to a vote of the states. And then 3/4 of the states would have to vote to change the rule. So those are kinds of things that we really need to think about. How do we work on them to make things very fair so that when a group of people vote and they all vote for something that they want, that their voices are really heard, because that's the basis for which our country is built upon.
How did the Electoral College come about?
The early writers of our Constitution thought that they were really creating a process that was going to be fair for everybody who is in the country. So there were more people in the eastern part of the country, along the New York corridor, for example, than there were in the southern part of the country, like in Texas or in New Mexico, for that matter. So they thought if they gave people electoral votes, that it would somehow balance out so that those votes that are cast in areas where there are fewer people would not be diminished in any way because there are larger groups of people who might be voting in other parts of the country. But what has happened is, looking forward, that really has not worked out well. And that has shown itself in at least two elections that have occurred so far.
Do you think the Electoral College would have worked better when it was first created?
I do. I think when it was first created, it probably worked a little better. But even that is hard to see, because if you look at what the Electoral College does, it gives us the same number of votes as we have representatives in Congress. So that if you look at New Mexico, we only have 5 electoral votes because those are the numbers of members that we have in Congress. And if you look at a place like California, for example, which is the largest of the states with the most members in Congress, you wonder, you said, how did that really make things more equal? Because all you've done now is to pare down those numbers, but you really haven't brought about equality in terms of the voting.
Is it only the presidential campaign that's affected by electors?
It's only the presidential campaign that is affected by electors. That is where we use it solely, and it's solely for the purpose of representing, or electing rather, the president and the vice president of the United States, because they're the most powerful people in our country.
Are you still an elector, or are they new every election?
I am an elector only for a presidential election, which occurs every 4 years. And so every 4 years, we would get new electors in the Electoral College. So during the time that I was in the Electoral College, I was the secretary of the electors. So if you go to the Secretary of State's office, you'll see that I signed the document showing what our vote was and how we proceeded. But after I completed signing those documents and they were filed with the Secretary of State's office and sent to the Vice President of the United States, who serves as President of the Senate, that vote was read in the Senate. My term was up.
Our guest has been New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon. She was an elector once upon a time, and I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour, Representative Herndon.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Dee-dum, hum-hum, dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-hum, dee-dum, hum-hum, dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-hum-dee-dum-dee sat on a wall, hum-dee-dum-dee had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men said, vote, go vote. Hum-dee-dum, hum-hum, Jack and Jill, dee-dum-dee, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and said, vote, go vote. Hum-dee-dum. Hum, hum, dee-dum-dee-dum-dee.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet,
eating her curds in a way.
Along came a spider and sat down beside her, said, vote, go vote.
Vote, go vote.
Vote, vote, go vote, go vote, go vote. Go vote, 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 go vote, go vote.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
Vote, go vote.
Vote, go vote.
Vote, vote, go vote, go vote, go vote. Vote, vote, go, vote, go, vote, go. Go, vote, 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 go, vote, go, vote, go.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like vote, go, vote.
That's Ants on a Log right here on the Children's Hour with the Humpty Vote song. We're thinking about voting today on the show because it's the season for the presidential election. It's the first Tuesday in the month of November. And as we're recording this show, we've got a big one happening in our presidential election. We're excited for you to learn more. Go to childrenshour.org and look for this episode, Presidential Elections. There we've got links for you to find out if you're registered to vote wherever you live in the United States, and pictures and more information. As we think about voting, unfortunately, kids can't vote in these presidential elections. So kids are looking to the adults to do the right thing, and that's get in the voting booth and vote. You've been listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We're going to go out with one more. This is Bob Doro with the campaign trail. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
Four years have passed, it's time again to stage the main event. Election day is drawing near, we'll pick our president. The candidates stump state to state to build their reputations. In primaries across the land, they fight for delegations. New Hampshire is the first to vote, their winner is front runner. Then all the rest play catch-up ball to pass him before summer. Republicans and Democrats hold national conventions. They build their party platforms to broadcast their intentions. The candidates they nominate will surely have potential. They'll have to campaign long and hard to prove they're presidential. With whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots and pollsters' picks, even dirty tricks, they run for president. The key states are the bigger ones with larger populations. They have the electoral votes it takes to win elections. Their votes are cast in what we call the Electoral College. And it takes 270 votes to gain the winning edge. So read the paper, watch the news, and keep yourself abreast. That's how in our democracy we're sure to pick the best. So what if you're too young to vote? Go volunteer and help promote a party or a candidate who shares ideas you advocate. You can't sit home up on your butt and let the others do it. But if the one you like should lose, I promise you, you'll rue it. Don't say I didn't warn you. One thing everyone can do to make our country better is tell the candidates what we think by writing them some letters. They're also on the internet. The White House has a website. So reach out over cyberspace. Express your rights in bits and bytes. Starting with George Washington, we've always had our say. Be sure and help get out the vote our next election day. After whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots, election day, we'll have our say and pick the president.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, and we want to thank our guests, New Mexico Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver and New Mexico State Representative Pamela Herndon.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.